just a few short things in the parasha. First, I want to begin with a ha'ara. I don't have an answer. Maybe to get someone over here can suggest a good answer to this question. In the beginning of parashas Ekev, we learned about there's a double mention of the man. In the first aliyah, we all know the pasuk we discussed yesterday. Vayancha vayarivecha vayachilcha samas shelo yedata v'lo yidun avosecha l'man hodiecha ki loy alechem levada yichi ha'adam ki al kol motzofi Hashem yichi ha'adam. We know the pasuk says that Hashem, He tortured us, He afflicted us by giving us the man. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu torture us by giving us the man? So we discussed yesterday a few different ideas. The one popular idea is that we were not able to see what the food tastes like. Chazal tells us that a person was able to be mechavin, have kavana, whatever food he wanted to taste, that is what the man tasted like. If he wanted to taste meat, it tasted like meat. If he wanted to taste like milk, it would taste like milk. And in fact, they given this question, discussion, if a person wanted to have kavana, to have something that is forbidden. Let's say you want to have kavana to taste basar b'chalav, a hamburger, something that is cooked. So would HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfill a person's kavana? Would HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow the food to taste like a dover that indeed is osus? This is an interesting discussion. But the point is, this itself is called an inui. This is painful. It's painful for a person to eat something and not see exactly what it looks like. And seemingly that, and the pasuk is telling us, you know why that is so? That's because leman hodiacha ki loy al halechem levado yichye ha'adam ki al kol motzofi Hashem yichye ha'adam. Before I get to my heart, I want to make another point, and that is in life, it's very common in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person bracha. There's always something that's missing. You have everything that you want, just you can't, you know, you get lucky. Let's say you want to go buy a suit, so you get, I was waiting for the suit to go on sale, but the tie, I just can't get the right tie to match the suit. It's very, very common when a person has bracha, you get 95% of what you're trying to accomplish, and that last 5%, you just can't get. And it's frustrating. It's very, very frustrating. Look at Haman. Haman, the whole world bowed down to Haman. The whole world, Achashverosh made Haman, made him Mishnah Melch, but it was just one person. Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. There was just one person that was refusing to bow down to that person. That was enough. That small meat that Haman did not have was enough to drive him mad. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to some degree to every single person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives enormous bracha. But there's always the person in the person's life, there's always some small little thing that's missing. That's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did by the man. The man was everything. You had any possible taste, any possible food, this is what the man. There's just the one little slight thing, is that when you put it in your mouth, it just does not look like the food. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu held back that small mashu, it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to cause a person to suffer. Chas v'sham. Adrabah, it's l'man hoidiyacha, ki loy al halechem, l'man hoidiyacha, ki loy al halechem levado yichye ha'adam, ki al kol motzofi Hashem yichye ha'adam. When a person in life is frustrated because he doesn't have 100%, he only has 99%, that 1% is there as a bracha to a person, to remind him that this 99% that you have is because Hashem gave it to me. If Hashem would give a person 100%, a person can come to a degree vayishman yeshurin vayivad. So a person has to take advantage of the situation that he has been denied, withheld from him a small amount. Okay, that's one short idea. But the main idea I want to point out, this is just a ha'aret. I don't have an answer, and I'm hoping someone here can. Yeah.
Perhaps the idea of tripus and maestris.
Yeah.
The very same thing.
Yeah.
Blessing you with
abundance.
Produce,
but you have to give away a small amount.
Yeah.
Small amount you give away in order to show that kernel that it's not mine. Appreciation that it's not totally mine. Truma special is only a mashu. Maestris is more significant. It's 10%. But in Echnami, a small amount has to be given away to show, to recognize kiloy alalechem levada yichye adam. Aser b'shvil shetis aser. You become that. That's a spiritual type bracha in Echnami. Okay, now the point I just want to make is go back now, go further in one parak, go further to parak It's really the same parak, but just all the way in the pasuk Tezvav, Hamalichacha b'Midbar Hagadol v'Hanayra Nachash Sharaf Yakrav v'Tzimun Hashayin Moyim, and then Hamotzilucha Ma'im Yitzurah Chalamish pasuk Tezvav, Hamachilcha Mon b'Midbar, Asher Lo Yaduun Avisecha L'Man Anoisecha U'L'Man Nasoisecha Leitivcha B'Yachrisecha. What in the world is going on? Why is the repetition? We just said in the beginning of the parak, Kadosh Baruch Hu took us in the Midbar and He gave us Mon. It's one thing, maybe you'll tell me that you wrote this in Parashas Voeschan, Parashas Dvarim, or in Chumash Bamidbar, or you'll write this in next year's Parashas Rei. Here it's in the same parasha. It's in one parak. Okay, so maybe it spans two aliyos, but why over here is there? Why over here does it say Hamach? Is there another reference to the Mon? So obviously, you can start making many diyukim. You can start saying, well, back in the beginning it says Mon. Here it says first it says Hamon. Vayachilcho es Hamon. Here it says Hamachilcho Mon. In the beginning it says Asher lo yodata. Here it v'lo yodu unavosecha. Later, the second time it says Asher lo yodu unavosecha does not make mention of the fact Asher lo yodata. Here it says, in the first time it says l'man hodiacha. Here it just says l'man nasoisecha, to test you. Before it does, okay, you can start comparing, but the point is, why is the pasuk repeating the concept of the Mon twice? The only thing obvious difference between the two, and I think there is something over here which perhaps can be used as a springboard to understand all the other differences, is the first time we make mention of the Mon, the focus is the derech that we took in the Midbar for 40 years. Not the Midbar, v'zocharta eskol haderech asher ha'ilichicha Hashem elokecha ze arbu'im shana ba'midbar. Hashem took us on a journey, a 40-year journey. And during this 40-year journey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustained us. The second mention of the Mon in the next Aliyah, it's not focusing on the journey. It's focusing on the environment. On a very specific, HaMelechecha Bamidbar, you were in a desert. HaGadol VeHanayra, that is frightening. It is very great. It is very awesome. Very, in this context, it means very frightening. There was Nochosh, Sarof, Akrav, Vitzimaon, there was thirst, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this very great difficult situation, HaMachilcha Mon Bamidbar, He gave us the Mon to eat. In other words, so in life, there are two, Mon represents Parnasa. And when you focus on Parnasa, there is like a double Parnasa. There is Parnasa for your whole life, there is the Derech, the journey, and then there is, in each individual isolated environment, location, in that specific location, there is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets you through that situation. That when we bench, we talk about basically, I think the idea here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demanding from us to remember that he sustained us in the big picture of things. Throughout the entire, there was a plan for 40 years. And then we also owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKaras HaTov for getting us through the specific difficult situations in life. There is the big picture, and then there are the details. Both of these things HaKadosh Baruch Hu here in this parasha is demanding from us, is being tovea from us in this parasha.
When you have a preference to...
I'm just making an observation. The observation is, why does the pasuk basically repeat the same thing twice in one parak?
No, but I'm saying, building off what you're saying about parak chesh pasuk based preface to the Mon, right?
Right.
That's the big picture.
That's the big picture.
And then pasuk tesvah...
Is the small picture? Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. There. Look at the difference.
You know that's how the Abravanel thinks. Or you don't
want
to.
What?
Would you like to know?
Yes.
How the Abravanel thinks.
So what does he say?
There's a few. No. What you said, basically, the thought that you just expressed is in the Abravanel, but he not but he, he does the same derech on a few things that are repetitious in the parasha,
yeah.
So that you know that this is talking about this and this is talking about this. Even though it seems to be the same thing being repeated, there's different wording in it. There's always one catchphrase that's to teach you something else. That's why I'm repeating it. Because this has nothing to do with this. And that's the same thing with the money. Yeah.
When you look at the money, here we are.
The first one is telling you about the taste that they had from Israel. They all had a certain understanding of foods that they had there, so they were able to eat. When they ate it, they thought of Egyptian bread.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
Now, when they're going for 40 years
yeah.
in the desert, they're being exposed to a lot of other types of food, like pizza or something, and then they're going to have that type of taste. Now, the second time, it's a small thing, but this way, Akash Baruch was giving them everything, not just what they were initially had when they came out of the tribe.
Basically, I think what we're trying to say that for both doors, for the door that went out and the door that went in, so maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was
focusing on two different. It's the same one.
What your parents ate. This is what you're eating now at the month.
Okay, it's two different generations of man. It's the same man, yet when the same man, you can look at the man as being part of the big picture. I mean, that's the basic idea. B'chol haderech, the introduction to the first reference to the man is V'zacharto es kol haderech. The entire journey. And then we go on, what Hashem do for you? He gave you the man. Then later on in Perek Tezvav, when it repeats exactly the man, almost word for word, the same ideas. That's almost the same exact theme. But here the introduction is, it was in the Midbar, Hagodol, Vahanera. We're not focusing on the big picture of 40 years. We're focusing on you found yourself in a very difficult situation at this particular event. You were in the desert, you were in Makum Sakona, and yet Hashem sustained you. When you think about the Chesed, what?
Because they were born in the midst.
I don't think this is talking about specifically new generations. It's talking about general. It's talking about, it's all a continuation.
You're talking about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Asher lo yudav asach. Okay, right.
And so what's your excuse? Right. You had mon. They never had mon.
When you eat the same piece of bread, you have to realize there's a big picture. There's a big picture of 40 years of a derech, you know, a journey. You're going on a journey. It's a 40-year journey. And then there's also a hakara satov for the moment. A person has to have a double hakara satov in parnasa. The parnasa he has now is for the moment, but the parnasa to some degree is also part of the big picture of what you're mission in life is. Okay, that was just all. Let's go to another idea. Let's talk about the Shviras Haluchas. Moshe Rabbeinu, the sixth parasha, by the way, this sixth parasha, it used to be called Shabbos Busha. Isn't that an interesting expression? Yeah, Shabbos Busha, that's what's in the Kadmoinim. You know, there's Shabbos Shuva, and there's Shabbos HaGadol, and there's Parsha Zohar. This Shabbos had a nickname called Shabbos Busha. Why is it called Shabbos Busha? Because most of this week's parasha elaborates on the Egel. It's one thing, you know, that is a very, very, very frightening, I think one thing in back in Parsha Kisisa, that's when Klal Yisrael did the Egel. Okay, so you did the Egel. But when someone goes and sits you down, and it's publicly, so you know, it's one thing, and you embarrass yourself. Okay, so you embarrass yourself, so you did it to yourself. But this week's parasha, we're not doing the Egel. We're just sitting in shul, and someone's getting up, the Balkari is getting up, and it's being revised at the tzibur. And you know what you did? You did this, and you did this, you did this. This Shabbos was known as Parshas Busha. Okay, but in this parasha, we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu. He describes exactly what happened. He comes down from the mountain, and he sees that we're worshipping the Egel, and Ki Agarti Mibnei Ha'af, I was afraid. And
telling them not to learn from their parents, and that's always a bit of guilt as well.
Ah, okay.
A lot of people think of their parents as
whatever they did was great.
And he's telling you it's negative reinforcement.
Avol anachnu v'avoseinu chatanu. We and our parents have sinned.
But so different
gears. Yeah, a lot of different gears. Yeah.
The prayers by Chaim Moshe took place before he came down.
No, there were multiple prayers. Moshe.
Here it doesn't say that.
Okay, you have to dive in the exact sequence of events.
You don't want to get the impression Tovel Sheretz Biyado.
Okay, so the question over here is: Moshe comes down, Bo Esahi Omar Hashem Elai. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to make an Aron Eitz. Now, on a very simple level, the Aron Eitz that Moshe was now making was for the new set of Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the first set of Luchos. He shatters the Luchos. It's gone. The Luchos had been shattered. The Luchos were Masei Elokim Hema. Hashem wrote the Aseres Hadibros. They have now been destroyed. Where are they? They're lying on the floor. They're broken, and they're broken pieces lying all over the place. Hashem says, listen, we have to make Moshe was mispalel. I'm going to make for you a new set of luchos. Psol lucha. The difference is that these two luchos, you are going to quarry the stone from the mountain. Psol lucha. Shnei luchos avonim karishonim ba'alei elai ha'hara. And be prepared when you come down with the second set of luchos after I write on the second set, the Aseres Hadibros, you have to have a place where your sisol lucha. Aroin Eitz. Now the obvious question is, what about the first set of Luchos? Why was there no instruction for Klal Yisrael to make for the first set of Luchos an Aron? We know that Bezalel made the Aron, but that was much later on. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos were meant to be put in storage. So there's a whole discussion with Klal if they would have been a Mishkan. Let's go a step back. Why the instruction to build a Mishkan according to some of the Rishonim was only given after the Chet HaEgel. Before the Chet HaEgel, it was not necessarily meant to be a place, a Mishkan, at least the way we know it, because the Shekhinah would have been all over the world. It's only after the Chet of the Egel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have to be Mitzamsim, I have to limit my Shekhinah to a specific Makom, and you have to make for yourself a Mishkan with all the various Kalim, and among the Kalim will be the Aron where we're going to put the Luchas. Now, if you take that to be true, that it comes at face value, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain with the first set of Luchos, there was never meant to be an aura. It doesn't say anywhere. Oh, that's later on. That's what I'm coming to right on. But when Moshe Rabbeinu, plan one.
They say that it had to be that the Mishkan could be the Mishkan had before, based on that whole thought process where you wouldn't have had an aura.
So seeing, well, if the Luchos were not broken, if the first set of Luchos were not broken, we don't find anywhere where Moshe was told originally to make a box for the first Luchos. And Enoch and Ami, this is an idea which is discussed, that Enoch and Ami was the original plan that the Luchos would have been exposed. The Luchos would have been, where is the Sefer Torah today stored? In the Aron. Why is the Sefer Torah stored in the Aron? Wouldn't it be better if we kept the Sefer Torah lying on the Bima all the time? We once discussed this. Let us leave the Sefer Torah on the Bima. Maybe we'll cover it. When you take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron and you bring it to the Bima, that is a disgrace for the Sefer Torah. That the Sefer Torah has to travel. It would be much more ideal that we should come travel towards the Aron. Let me give you an example. We know that back in Parashas Bahaloyscha, there are two sins. The sin of Vayisu Mehar Hashem. Klal Yisrael, they left Har Sinai. Chazal tell us there was a terrible sin that took place when they left Har Sinai. They fled. Kitinuk Habareach Mibes HaSefer. The next parasha that was meant to be was Vayihi Ha'am Kimis Oinanim Ra Beinei Hashem. The Klal Yisrael began to complain. We are tired of the man. We remember the good fish. We remember the meat. Why is it now that in the desert all we have is Vanafshenu Kotza Balechem HaKaloikol HaZeh? So Klal Yisrael here has committed two severe sins. They fled from Har Sinai. And number two, they complained that they were not happy with the man. Hashem, in order to prevent that these two sins be juxtaposed, he inserted Parshas Vayihi Ben So HaOron in the middle. It's surrounded by two upside down nuns, two inverted nuns, to be mafsig bein poronos le poronos. Now the simple understanding is the hafsaka bein poronos le poronos is in order that these two things should not be next to each other. But on a deeper level, we want to break up poronos. We don't want two different things to be next to each other. But on a much deeper level, it's not that we want to break up the poronos. Hashem is giving us a message. He's telling us that when you run away from Har Sinai, you don't appreciate the Torah, and you complain, then you get a third punishment. And you know what the third punishment is? The Aron has to travel. What's the two psukim that are in between the Vayisum Ehar Hashem and Vayim Hom Kim Nisoinim? Vayihi bin Soa Ha'aron Vayom Moshe Kumo Hashem V'yafutsu Evecha V'yinusu Misenechem Ponecha. Hashem, may you rise up and may you wipe out your enemies. Why do we have enemies to begin with? Why is the Aron traveling? When the Aron traveled, it wasn't a good sign. Because when the Aron traveled, they had to take apart the Mishkan. There was no Mishkan. When Klal Yisrael were doing with Tzayin Hashemakim, when the best time was when there was an Oel Moed, there was a tent. The Oel was set up, the Mishkan was erect, and in the Mishkan the Aron was resting in its permanent location. When we had to travel, there is no longer a Mishkan. The Mishkan was taken apart. And the Aron was now vulnerable. It was exposed. And when there's no Mishkan, and the Aron is exposed, we are vulnerable. Our enemies attack. We have to go and be mispalel vayihi bin soha Aron. When the Aron is moving, now we're vulnerable. Kumo Hashem v'yafutsu ayvecha v'yanusu mitzanech miponecha. It would have been better that we don't have enemies. We don't have to travel. And the Aron is standing, and we're not vulnerable, and there are no enemies, and we don't have to be mispalel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should destroy the enemies. But because we ran away from Har Sinai, we did not appreciate the Torah, we behaved like a child, HaBarech Mibes HaSefer, and that led to us complaining that nothing is good enough, the food is not good enough, this is not good enough, that's not good enough. So Mimela, that is what brings about the problem of Golus. The fact that the Aron travels, that represents the concept of the Masos. The Masos is Golus. So we have over here this idea where the Aron is traveling. Aron is traveling, we see, is not a good thing. The ideal thing is the Aron should be stationary. And the Aron, not only should it be stationary, not only the Lucha should be stationary, it should be at home with itself. It should not have to be concealed and locked up in a box. Locking up the luchos in a box represents that we are unworthy of seeing what it says and has to be concealed. Originally, there was never meant to be that the luchos of Hashem should be put away in a box. The luchos of Hashem were meant to be exposed for all to enjoy the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah would radiate. It's only after the Chorban, after we sin and we were no longer worthy to be on that exalted level of spirituality, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell us now to make a box. Okay, that is the simple understanding of the Pasuk. Now that Bo'es Hahi, the Pasuk is very specific. It was at that specific moment in time when we have sinned. We did the worship of the Egel. Omar Hashem Elai. Now, since you've worshipped the eagle, you have to make for yourself an aron for the new set of luchos. Not only have you lost the madrega of the first set of luchos, you've also lost the madrega where the luchos could be exposed. Now the luchos have to be contained, have to be concealed inside the box because you're no longer worthy. This is the simple understanding of why it's bidafka bo'esahi, and for the very first time there's going to be a requirement of yosisu l'cha aron eitz. However, on another level, more of a drush approach to the pasuk, it's telling you when it says here yosisu l'cha aron eitz, it's not referring to making a box for the luchos shnios that will be given, because that didn't happen yet. That's going to happen at a much later point in time, and Moshe is going to go to Shemayim for 120 days, 40, and come down. Hashem says to Moshe, before you come upstairs to receive the the second luchos, take the broken pieces, like you said, the shivri luchos, take the broken pieces of the luchos and put them away in an aron. And in fact, there is no mention at all then of that of Hashem telling Moshe to take the second luchos and put the second luchos in a chanami, maybe in a chanami, just like there was never a kavana. We never find anywhere Hashem's intent that the first set of luchos should be put away in a box. Maybe very well that at this point in time there was never meant to be that the second luchos should be put in a box. The second luchos also will be exposed. But Salel would later make the special on Rashi points out, Rashi in fact says that Betzalel would later make an aron for the second set of luchos. So what then is the purpose here of making the aron now? The answer is, I want you to make an aron of eitz to preserve the first set of luchos. And it's teaching us over here something extremely important, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, preserve your failures. Preserve your mistakes. In life, we all have a tendency is that all of our errors, our mistakes in life, we forget about. They never happened, never existed. Hashem says just the opposite. The mistakes you made in life, this is what you have to always keep with you and remember. Because from those mistakes, that's where you will grow. That's where you will... Klal Yisrael's mistake. Klal Yisrael, what is the product of the Churban of the Chet or Egel? It's the Shviras Haluchos. The Aron, the Egel, you're not going to keep. No one's going to make a memorial for the Egel. That's not going to exist. But the consequence, what is the most tangible form of the Chet or Egel that we can hold on to? It is the luchos that were broken. We could, Moshe, if not for this pasuk, you think, listen, Moshe comes down from Shemaim with the luchos, he shatters the luchos. So the luchos are worthless. They're worthless. It's just dust. It's just dust. Hashem says it's not dust. The luchos aren't worthless. The osisa lucho aron eitz. The pasuk is, I want you to make an aron of eitz for the shviras haluchos. That's what I wanted the box to be for. Not for the new luchos that I'm going to give you later on. I didn't give you the new luchos yet. That's later on. Later, in 120 days, we'll come down, we'll make another box for that. Betzalel will make another box for those luchos. But don't take when you, just because you have failed something in life did not go your way, don't try to remove it from memory. Preserve it and build upon it. And indeed, what happened? Hashem says to Moshe, "V'echtoiv al haluchos asadvar mashayu." I'll write a new set of luchos, asher shibart, and then v'samtam ba'oron. And according to this approach, this drush, you'll then take the new luchos and you'll put it in the same box where you put the shivrei luchos. We always are under the impression that the aron was only for the new luchos. Ah, it's just, what are we going to do with the old luchos? So we'll throw it in there. We'll throw in the old luchos into the box which has the new luchos. But the box was made primarily for... That might be true for the aron of Betzalel. The Aron of Betzalel that he made later on, that was made in Echanam, that maybe was made primarily for the new Luchos. Once we put it there in that Aron, the new Luchos, so maybe we put there in that Aron also, Luchos for Shivri Luchos Menachos Baron. Not necessarily was it the same box. That's another question. They were two different boxes. Not necessarily. But here, in the meantime, there is one box being made. And the primary focus of the creation of this box is for the Shivri Luchos. Not the new luchos. Because in life, what's important to preserve are your mistakes. And now when we're going to go forward, I'm going to give you a new set of luchos to look to the future. The future is going to be built upon the past. Not to go and only focus on the future and then just look backwards once in a while to the old set of luchos. That's why it's the aron, the point is the aron eitz is for the old luchos and the new luchos we put in that box. Yeah.
They're not what they were.
Yeah.
So they're comparable to the shiver. You have to treat them with the same cover because of what they once were.
Our Chazal said that when a person gets old, and he's no longer in his prime,
he's broken,
he forgets his learning. Talmuchem sheshachach Talmudo, he is sheshachach Talmudo. You have to treat him with respect because luchos v'shivrei luchos menachos ba'ar. That's another idea.
When is the Kodesh HaKodeshim?
The Aron, that was it. Well, that's the question. The simple understanding is both in the Aron, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was both the Luchos and the Shivri Luchos. Luchos, the Shivri Luchos, Munachos Baron. Okay, let's go to another idea. The idea of Yirah Shemayim. This week's parasha is the parasha of Yirah Shemayim. V'yato Yisrael Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Meimach Kim Liyira Es Hashem Elokecha Lachas B'chol Derachav Liyavay Sov Lavad Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levav B'chol Nafshach. Well, this part goes on. There's a long run-on sentence. It goes on for many psukim where HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands many, many things. So I want to point out that this pasuk appears to be a contradiction. First it says Hashem only wants one thing from you. Hashem only wants ki'im liyira es Hashem Elokecha. That's all he wants. However, when the pasuk goes on, Hashem doesn't want us to fear. Hashem wants us to leches b'chol derachav, ula ahava also, v'lavod es Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. It's really five things. Hashem only wants ki'im liyira. That's all he wants. That's all Hashem wants. Ki'im liyira. But then it says, no. Not only that, v'leches b'chol derachav, ula ahava also, v'lavod es Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. Then it goes lishmar mitzvahs Hashem eschukosav. So what's going on? So in truth, it's not a kasha, because just we have the same thing in Acha Shoalti coming up in the Mizmah of L'David. Acha Shoalti me'es Hashem oso avakesh. I only have one thing that I want. Shivti v'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai. Then it goes on to say lachazos b'noam Hashem ulevaker behei cholo. One thing.
But that's David.
So right. So you see that one thing leads to another. Just like so. That's number one. You see a parallel that just like when David makes one request, he makes a request only. But he goes on to enumerate a number of requests. That's because all of the other requests are all tofel to the first request. They're all totally zebzeb.
Big picture and details.
What?
Like big picture versus details.
Okay, in Achanami, it's similar. Now, I think really this is alluded to. It's alluded to in the actual reading of the pasuk. If you look in the Chumash, it says V'yato Yisrael Mo Hashem Lechshol Meimach. Now, if you would not pay attention, you would think it says Ki'im, and you would put a comma. Right? Is that what you would do?
Yes.
Ki'im, comma, only one thing, Liyira Es Hashem Elokecha V'chulu V'chulu. But that's not what it says in the pasuk. It says Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach Ki, comma. Ki is a munach. And then there is Im Liyira. Im Liyira, there is a mesek which connects the word Im with the word Liyira. So it's not Ki Im. If it would say in the Pasuk, Meimach Ki Im, Hashem only wants from you Ki Im, comma. One thing, liyira es Hashem Elokecha. Then in Echanami, then the dictic would be that Hashem only wants one thing, but that's not what it says.
It doesn't have to mean one thing.
Kiyim is normally an expression which means but. This, just this, kiyim, only this. Ki means, look how the Targum translates. Pasuk Yud Beis, Ucha'an, now, Yisrael Mo Hashem Elokecha Tva Minach Elohein, but only. Elohein means I really key in. Elohein means the Targum seems to translate the word key in as one word. As one word. But liyira es Hashem elokecha ulachas b'chol derachav. Now, I'm not coming, Targum is dik, but it's interesting that in the pasuk, when you look at the pasuk, the word ki and im are not connected, but the word im and liyira are connected. The pasuk is not demanding from you only one thing. The pasuk is demanding ki, that im liyira, Hashem wants you to do many things. Im that liyira, es Hashem elokecha, and lelechas, the purpose of the yira is to go, lelechas b'chol derachav, ul'ahavo so b'lav Hashem elokecha b'chol levav b'chol nafshecha. In other words, a person can make a mistake and think that I'll fear Hashem, but I'm not going to do what he wants me to do. My yira is not going to lead to action. There is such a possibility. The goyim have a requirement of Yirat Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef, who was playing make believe that he was a non-Jew, he says the kiyas elokim ani yare. Avraham said to Paro, "Rak kin yiras elokim b'makoyim hazeh." There is such a thing as fearing Hashem that does not lead to action. And that's a good thing also. There is such a thing that I'm afraid of God. But doesn't mean I have to go and do everything that Hashem wants. I'm afraid of him. I have respect for him. I'm gonna play it safe. But it doesn't mean that my Yira Shamayim is going to force me, have an effect on my neshama, to fulfill every single thing that it says. If the pasuk would have said V'ato Yisrael, Lo Hashem Elokecha Shalom Eimach, Kiyim. Kiyim normally is translated, if you take the words Kiyim together, means the only thing Hashem wants from you is liyira, to fear Hashem. Now, if we have two problems. First of all, just fearing Hashem without it leading to action is not necessarily a good thing. And number two, the pasuk does go on to enumerate a long laundry list of things that Hashem wants from us. Therefore, when we take a close look at the pasuk, we notice it does not say kiyim. It says, what does Hashem want from you? Ki. There's a comma after the word ki. Hashem ki that. Ki does, then the ki does not mean only. Ki means that. And then when it says the next word, it's im liyira, that you should fear Hashem so that it will lead to action. What's the action? It's much more demanding. The yira shamayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from Klal Yisrael is a yira shamayim that is extremely demanding. It's a yira shamayim that leads to action. Action to come close to serve and to be mekayim all the mitzvahs. It's not just the fear that you find by the umos ha'olam, Amalek. Amalek were not religious people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had kindness on them. The lo yorei Elokim. Hashem did not demand from Amalek that they should be mekayim the tayag mitzvah. Certainly not so. Avraham did not demand from Paro that you should be mekayim the tayag mitzvahs. But Avraham demanded from Paro, and Avraham demanded, and Hashem demanded from Amalek, v'lo yorei Elokim, ki rak and yiras Elokim b'mokayim hazeh. A limited sense of yira. But Klal Yisrael, Hashem is not satisfied with just a limited sense of yira. Hashem's yira is ki. I want there to be that. Im liyira, that with your yira, im is with an aleph, not with an ayin, but im liyira, but has the same type of meaning, im liyira es Hashem, that with the yira, it will come, lo leches b'chol derachav, ula ahava osor, v'lavo es Hashem l'lechem chol levav v'chol nafshecha, lishmor mitzvos Hashem v'yeschul kosov, asher nochi mitzavcha yom l'tov lach. It's a yira shamayim of action. It's a whole different league of yira shamayim. Now that perhaps answers the famous question, why is it that on Birchas Rosh Chodesh we ask for so many different types of Yira Shamayim? There is Yira Sachet, and then after Oishar V'chol, we ask for Chaim Shal Yira Shamayim. The first Yira is just going Madregos. The first Madrega is we want just that it's good to fear Hashem. At least to the degree of what a non-Jew is required. A person should have a sense of awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we hope that we have a higher dosage of Yira Shamayim, where the Yira Shamayim should translate into action. And that's what it says here in the pasuk clearly. And notice the nesek. Im liyira, the word im goes together with the word liyira, and im is not part of the word ki. If it would say ki im, we're in a lot of trouble. Hashem just wants fear, nothing more than fear, no action, but then the pasuk goes on to describe action. But when you break up the two words, as indeed it is broken up, then it takes on an entirely different meaning.
I say a little part by
yeah.
The second.
Yeah. After you have mamon oisha, then you need another dosage. After you have kavod, you need okay. That's a more of a milsa with the husa. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Yeah.
The only action item that I find related to yira that I find difficult is the concept of ahava. Ahava to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu is a higher. I thought a higher.
The gilui bira ada. the gil to love a Kadosh Baruch, the gilu b'ra'ah. You know, it's very interesting that if you look up Chamishi, we know that the Christians broke up the parakim, broke up the psukim, they made the chapters, and more often than not, the place they put the breaks don't make any sense. And here is one very good example of what you exactly touched upon. Look what they have done, the Christians. Chamishi begins a new parsha, right? This is a parsha psucha. It's a parsha psucha, which is like a new chapter. Parsha stum is like a new paragraph, and a parsha psucha is a new chapter. The Atah Yisrael is a parsha psucha. Mo Hashem Lokecha Shol Meimach Kim Liyira Es Hashem Lokecha. Let's pull the rachav. Then when you get the end of the parak, pasuk chav beis, the shivim nefesh yordu avasecha mitzrayma, the atah samcha Hashem lokecha kichachvei hashamayim larov. Oh, all of a sudden the Christians decided that now it's over, and now we have a breaking point, and now we have a whole new chapter. The oh ahavta eis Hashem lokecha v'shamarta mishmarta v'chukosav mishmarta u'mitzosav kol hayamim. Why do the Christians do this? Because it was very disturbing to them that the theme of love should be included in the beginning of the chapter that describes Yira. How does a parasha psucha is not an insignificant thing. A parasha stuma is a new chapter. A parasha psucha means it's a new chapter. It's a new chapter. And the theme of the chapter is always captured in the beginning of the pasuk. Where this is the chapter of Yirah Shamayim. And what is one of the forms of Yirah Shamayim? Love. The Ohavta. Pasuk Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. That's not a new parsha. That's a direct continuation of the beginning of what is included in fear. Right? The Gila, you're asking that question. How could you that Yira leads to love. When you fear someone, it naturally will bring to the emotion of love. It's a continuation. And the Christians, and that's really all part of their philosophy, is that no. What? Well, what the Pasuk is telling us it is. We have to have them. When the Pasuk is telling us it's all part of one continuous theme. By the Goyim, they don't have a very hard time with that. That's obviously why they broke it up. They obviously hold that Yira, that love, has nothing to do with fear. They made a very clear statement by breaking up the chapters in this form. You fear Hashem, and you love Hashem. Ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. One has nothing to do with the other. If I fear, because the goyim don't understand that, because why is that so, as we explained? Because by a goy, the type of year is extremely limited. V'lo yorei Elokim. Hashem is angry at Amalek that they don't fear God. Avraham is angry at Paro. Rak in Yiras Elokim v'amokoyim hazeh. There's a certain limited sense of fear. And in Achanami, that fear does not translate into love. But by Klal Yisrael, the Atah Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Me'imach. Hashem is demanding a different type of fear. Ki, that, period. Im Lira. With the Yira, I know it says im with an aleph, but sometimes im with an aleph also is translated with. Okay, it's also you can go study Tanakh. Im with an aleph also sometimes im liyira es Hashem Elokecha, that by fearing, or you can really translate the word im as by. Im liyira, by fearing es Hashem Elokecha, it will bring you lo leches b'chol derachav ule ahava oso v'laud Hashem Elokecha. And he elaborates, all of these things fit, and this is something that is unique to Klal Yisrael. So the point we just want to take out of this is, it's not all the same. The Yirah Shamayim by a Goy is not the same type of Yirah Shamayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from Klal Yisrael. Our Yirah Shamayim is ki, kama, in the Yira. With the Yira, we're going to go by the Yira, we're going to flow into all of these things that we do all the way until you get to Shishi. Chamishi goes all the way until Shishi is the first parsha break. It's a parsha stuma. So when you lay this week's parsha, and you go through, you'll see when you get a Chamishi, when you go see Chamishi, it's all one continuous extension of the Yira Shamai. Okay, this is one idea. I want to go to another idea. The idea is from Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch. Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch and Rav Schwab, they they Rav Schwab develops Rav Shamshon Fold Hirsch to what he says, but I just go a little bit further than what Rav Schwab says. It's along his foundation. This is what Rav Shamshon Fold Hirsch says. This is his observation. The word shoyel can mean two things. It can mean a request. I make a request of you, and the word shoyel can also mean I want to borrow. I go to you, and can I please? You have a hammer. Can I please borrow your hammer? You have $1,000. Can I please borrow? You have $1 million. Maybe you can lend me. I'm in a lot of trouble. I need to borrow. How am I going to? Trust me. I'll pay you back $1 million. I don't know how, but somehow I'll pay you back. Shoyel means to borrow, and it means to make a request. How do you know when the word shoyel means to borrow, and when the word shoyel means to make a request? So Rav Shamshon Fold Hirsch says as follows. Whenever the word shoyel is followed by the word me'es, then it means to borrow. Sometimes it doesn't say the word me'es, but the word me'es is implied. From even a one letter, you have to study. I don't have all the examples, but this is what Rav Shamshon Fold Hirsch says. Sometimes the word shel is followed from the word mimicha, me'iticha, from you. When it's followed by the word me'iticha, it means a request. When it's followed by the word the word me'es, okay, I don't have all the examples, then it means to borrow. Now, it's just to throw out some examples. Ki yishal ish me'in, no, it says, ki yishal ish me'im re'echa. So the word me'im, now there in that context, it clearly means to borrow. Parshas Mishpatim. A person borrows a hammer, he borrows, so he's chay for Geneva v'Aveda, he's chay for Einzel, the only thing he's potter from is Mesa Machmas Melacha. Ki yishal ish me'im me're'eyu, from your friend. Okay, another example. V'sho'ala isha mishechenta Now, there it does not say the word me'im, it does not say the word me'es, but Rav Shamshon Fold Hirsch says that from the rules of grammar, it's as if it says me'es. The mem, mishechenta, it means me'es shechenta. That's what he says. It means it's equivalent. He has other examples. I don't have all the examples now, but we'll trust this is what Rav Shamshon Fold Hirsch says. I'm not making this up. This is what he says. It's as if it says there me'es shechenta. So since it says me'es, me'es from, doesn't say from you, doesn't know when it says from the person itself, that would be me'im, that will mean to make a request. When it says from, I'm taking away, when you me'es, I'm taking something away from you, then it means to borrow. Now, if that's the case, Rav Shamshon Fold Hirsch and Rav Schwab write, then in this pasuk, we got a big problem. Because the pasuk should then say, the pasuk obviously here by Yirah Shemayim means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is making a demand of us. Hashem is making a demand. There's one thing I want from you, and that is that you should fear Hashem. V'atah Yisrael mo Hashem Elokecha shoyel. What am I demanding? But if that's the case, it should say me'iticha. Me'iticha means from you. Iticha me'imcha means is equivalent to me'iticha. Me'imcha means I want to take something away from you. Me'iticha, if there would be a tough in the word, that means you directly. Me'imcha means you have something, I want to draw it out of you.
Right.
I want to draw it out of you. So in other words, he says the pasuk here is grammatically incorrect. The pasuk should say, "V'ata Yisrael mo Hashem Elokecha shoyel me'iticha." I'm demanding from you, not from an object that you possess, and I want to extract it from you and take it from me for a period of time. If you have in your possession an object, and I want to take it away from you, you will remain you, and the object will no longer be in your domain. It will now be in my domain. Then it will be correct to say, as the pasuk does say, me'imach. Me'imach means you are you. You have in your possession an object. Will you please release that object and give it over to me? But the problem is, when Hashem is not asking us to borrow Yirah Shemayim,
the way it goes in Parshas Bahariyot, so me'imach.
the Yatzah Meimach, he will leave you. He's no longer going to be. So this Rav Shamshon follows. So he's asking an amazing question. The pasuk here seemingly means Hashem is making a demand. That's the way it's commonly translated. Hashem is demanding that was demanding from us that we fear Him. But if that is correct, then the pasuk here is grammatically incorrect. The pasuk grammatically you should say the Atah Yisrael Moshe Yisrael Meitoch.
Yira is internal.
Exactly. Yeah. Hashem is asking Yira, demanding me'itecha. Ki'im li'yira es Hashem Elokecha. The fact that it says me'imach, according to the rules of grammar, means that the word shoyel means Hashem is asking to borrow from us. Borrow? What kind of idea is that? Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, "Can I please borrow some Yirah Shemayim?" Hashem is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and He wants to borrow. We're supposed to fear Hashem, and He wants to borrow. And Yirah Shemayim is not exactly something that you borrow. Does it make sense? This is Rav Schwab's question. So Rav Schwab has an answer. Rav Schwab has a whole answer, a whole idea what it means. But I think on a very simple level, without going into the depth of Rav Schwab, the pasuk here is teaching something extremely profound. What exactly is Yirah Shemayim? How do you fear Hashem? It's very hard. You walk around in the street, I'm afraid of Hashem. Are you really afraid of Hashem? I don't know. I never. It takes a lot of work. How do you put yourself in the matzah of fearing Hashem? The answer is trust Hashem. Faith. What is faith?
Recognize.
Faith. What is faith? Faith is trust. I have trust in Hashem. Hashem told me, don't do this. And if I don't do this avera, He will reward me. Or Hashem told me, do this mitzvah. And if I do this mitzvah, I won't suffer. Right now, I don't see anything. When you lend someone money, why are you lending him money? Or you could afford to give away $1,000? Your hard-earned money? Listen, the answer is, I earn the money. I can't give it away. I don't need it now. I'll need it in 10 years from now. In the meantime, this person needs it right now. And I'm not giving it away because I trust him. I trust that in a year from now, he'll give me back my money. I trust him. And because I don't need the money today, I'll give it to him so he has it. And in a year from now, he'll give it back to me. In other words, every time you lend or you lend someone something, you're basically trusting that person. The pasuk is teaching us in a very subtle way. The way a person comes to Yirah Shamayim is to trust Hashem. Trust is a concept that is 100% synonymous with borrowing. The Atah Yisrael, Hashem is speaking, what do I want to borrow from you? What I want to borrow is fear. In other words, trust me. Lend me, Hashem says, lend me $1,000. Do this mitzvah for me. Put on tefillin. Don't speak Lashon Hara. Don't eat non-kosher. Eat matzah. Take dalad minim. Do this for me. What are you going to get in return? At the moment, nothing. But trust me. Trust me. The time will come, I'll give you back ribbis. I'll give you back a lot more. That is what the Torah defines as Yirah Shamayim. Because otherwise, what is Yirah? How do you expect a person living in this mundane world to fear God? When you see the lightning coming out of the sky, you don't see the Yirah. You have to, the way you come to fear Hashem is by trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's mitzvos are demands that he borrows from us, that he's borrowing trust from us. This is pretty much what Rav Shamshon Falhirsch with Rav Schwab is coming to bring out in this pasuk, based upon the unusual word of me'imach instead of the more grammatically correct word me'itecha from you.
Something being done. Is that the connection? Yira masa?
What's a masa? What's a masa?
A mice.
Yes. Hashem is borrowing from us. What do you mean borrowing? Hashem is asking us to do things for Him. He's asking us to do mitzvahs. It costs money to do a mitzvah. It costs time. Right. We get emotionally involved. What are we getting in return for this?
Is there a step in between that?
Nothing in between.
Because it says,
"Va'hamta Hashem again." No, Yisrael mo Hashem Elokecha shoyl meimach. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking to borrow? Kiyam liyir. Now, we're translating shoyl to mean to demand, but it also means to borrow. What does it mean? Hashem wants us to fear Him. Because that's what fear is. Fear is trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have a sitter here. So this is just a short idea. Going back to... let's get a sitter. There are 7 weeks not really more than 7 weeks, but there are seven Shiva de Nechemta between Sheva Shabbosos between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah concludes with what? With Yom Kippur. So those 11 days, the 10 days of Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, we're now going to view as one unit, even though there are 10 days, and 10 days is a week, but it's Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the process, which concludes with Yom Kippur. What happened on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, we received the Luchos Shnios. This is Parsha. The Ad Bo'es Ahi Omar Hashem Elai Psal Luchos Shnei Luchos Avonim Karishanim, and then it goes on to say that Moshe had come up to me Vo'efin Ve'er Benahar. Go, and the pasuk goes on to tell us that we have received the second luchos. So in this week's parsha, we're really learning about what happened on Yom Kippur. The Yom Tif of Shavuos is when we receive the first set of luchos. In between Pesach and Shavuos, there are 7 weeks. Hashem says to Moshe, take out Klai Yisrael from Mitzrayim. The Otziach Hasam in Mitzrayim Tavdun Es Hor Elokim Al Hor Hazeh. We count 49 days, 7 times 7, for 50 days, leading up to day 50, to prepare for the receiving of the Torah. Which version of the Torah did we receive after 50 days from Yitzias Mitzrayim? The first version, the Luchos Rishonis. After the Chet HaEgel, Moshe went back and he received the second Luchos. The Churban Beis, from the time of Tish Abav, the Churban Beis Hamilish until Rosh Hashanah, we prepare for the Yom Hadin. The Yom Hadin we view as one unit from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, which culminates with Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is the time, the day, the anniversary of the day that we have received the second Luchos. What is the major difference between the first Luchos and the second Luchos? The major difference is who is the one that was more interested in giving the Torah. In the Luchos Rishonis, it was Hashem who was forcing it upon us. Hashem said, I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim, I'm giving you the Torah. Kofa aleihem har kigigis. The second Luchos was something that we wanted very much. After we recognized our loss, our foolishness in worshipping the Egel, realizing that we were doomed, Moshe Rabbeinu, he transformed Klal Yisrael. Maybe Hashem will have rachmanis on you, he'll give you another set of luchos, but this time you're going to have to earn it. It's a whole different attitude. That is why the luchos shnios coincides with Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur involves enormous preparation. Elul, and then there's the Aser Shimei Tshuva, and really the truth is starting from Tisha B'Av, after Tisha B'Av, the Zayin de Nechemta, this is all part of the process of working our way up to receive the luchos shnios. So it's a matter of attitude. The luchos rishonis Hashem, he's the one that came down to give it to us. The Luchos Shnius, we had to work our way up to receive the Luchos. I just found a very, very interesting remez to this. You have to develop this in more detail. But in Sfira, I'm not at all into this. Maybe some of you are more familiar with this. There are the different midos. The different midos of Chesed. You know this stuff good. You know it by heart. Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus, Chesed. Now, there's two ways to count. The first, now, all the counting always goes up. The first day is Chesed Shebechesed. The second day of Svir is Guvura Shebechesed. Third day is Teferet Shebechesed. So we work our way up. Lag BaOmer, we all know, is Hod Shebehod, and the last day is Malchus Shebemalchus. But there's another counting, and the other counting is going the reverse order. And when you go in the reverse order, there's a lot of Torah. That means the first day would be Malchus Shebemalchus. What is the difference between the order that we have it in our Sidurim and the reverse order? The order that we have in our Sidurim is going down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming, it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Luchos Rishonos Hashem is coming down, it's from His perspective. But when you go in the opposite order, then we're going up. This idea is hinted to, and I do not know how. I just only give you this week's parsha. This is something you have to work on, figure out yourself, on the seven parshios between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. In the first week, now if we're going in the reverse order, the first week is Voeschanon. Voeschanon alludes to the last is Malchus. Now why is Voeschanon Malchus? I do not know. Let's leave that for now. Okay, we each week have to figure out. But this is the easiest week of them all, because the second week, this going in the reverse order, is Yisod. And what is Yisod's parasha? Akev, the heel. The heel of the body is the foundation. It's the foundation of a person. The person's koyach to stand. So you just see that this week is the short remez. This week is Parshas Eke, because since we're now during these 7 weeks of reversing yearning for the receiving of the second luchos, where we reverse the midos that are mentioned in reference to Sfiras Omer. The first week would be Malchus. The second week would be Yisod. The third week would be Hod. This week, you have to figure out how each week fits in, but this week is Akev, V'hoye Akev Tishmun. Akev is the foundation of the body. It alludes to the idea of Yisod. Okay, that was just a short remiss. Let's go to the end of the parash. End of the parash, we have in the middle of Kriya Shema, V'samtem es devarai eila al levavchem v'al nafshechem. There's a very bizarre Rashi. Rashi, we all know this Rashi, says v'samtem es devarai eila. It's pasuk yudches, perik yudal pasuk yudches. V'samtem that you shall apply my words upon your heart and upon your soul. Rashi says afli achash shetiglu, even after you go into exile. Heyu mitzuyanim b'mitzvos. I'm warning you. You shall be excellent. You shall cleave to the mitzvos. For example, hanichu tefillin. When you are in Golis, make sure you wear tefillin. Asu mezuzos, and make sure you put a mezuzah on your door. Kedei shlo yiyu lochem chadoshim kishet tachzeru. So that when the time of Mashiach comes, and you return to Eretz Yisrael, and now you'll do the mitzvos of tefillin and mezuzah, it should not be a new mitzvah. It should not be something that you've done for the very first time. You're already familiar with it because you've been doing it in the Chutz Liaretz. V'chein oimer, it says in the pasuk, hatzivu lochot tzioinim, set up for yourselves marks. In other words, keep on doing the mitzvos and galus, even though you're not chayiv in the mitzvos, so that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, it should not be a big deal to once again adapt and do the mitzvos. And what is the obvious question? The obvious question is tefillin and mezuzah are not mitzvos hatluyos baretz. The mitzvah of tefillin and mezuzah you chayiv to do in Chutz Yisrael is just like you chayiv to do in Eretz Yisrael. There is no difference whatsoever. So therefore, how then can Rashi tell us what?
30 days.
What do you mean 30 days? In Eretz Yisrael, he's saying that when it comes, he's saying that in Eretz Yisrael you mechayiv put up a mezuzah immediately, and in the Chutz Yisrael after 30 days. So he's saying that in Chutz Yisrael you should be makpid to put up the mezuzah right away, so that when you come to Eretz Yisrael you put up the mezuzah right away. The only problem is that that's not a halacha. Then in Chutz Yisrael you're not mechayiv to put up the mezuzah until you're there for 30 days. So he's saying it's a minhag that you should be doing minhag and put up the mezuzah. And what are you going to say for tefillin? What's the difference between tefillin and Chutz Yisrael? Tefillin in Eretz Yisrael, there is no difference. So how then can Rashi give these two examples of mitzvahs that we should observe in Chutz Yisrael as practice for what's going to be when the Gula comes? Therefore, many suggest that there's a mistake in the Rashi. Even though in our Rashi here in the Art Scroll it says over here the words Hanichu Tefillin and Isru Maestros, the original version just had the Rashi Tevos. And the Rashi Tevos is Hey Tov, which means Hafrishu Truma, hey tof, and ayin mem stands for isru masras, because indeed in chutz liaretz there's no requirement to be mafresh truma, and there's no requirement to separate meiser. Therefore, it's telling you that you should still continue to do truma and meiser in chutz liaretz, so that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll know exactly how to do truma and meiser. The problem with that is that we anyway do not do truma and meiser in chutz liaretz, but that's not such a difficult question, because that's only in America we don't do. But in Bavel, the Gemara says that in Bavel, on the lands that are near Eretz Yisrael, indeed they did this. Therefore, that would answer the question of Rashi, there was somehow a mistake crept into the Sefer, because the printers, they expanded the Rashi tables. Since the context of this pasuk is written in Kriyat Shema and it's dealing with tefillin and mezuzah, that's why they mistakenly wrote those words, but it really refers to Truman Meiser.
Why would Rashi refer to Bavel? It said that was used before.
Why? So could Rashi, because Rashi is quoting the Chazal. Rashi is selecting Mamari Chazal. Rashi, even though he's referring in his generation, they were not in France and Germany, they did not. The two places where the Rashi frequented, France and Germany, they did not. Rashi studied in Germany. He lived in France. He went back to France to make his own yeshiva, but he went and he studied in the yeshivas of Germany. In Echnami, there they did not observe these mitzvahs. But he's quoting Chazal, which is very common. Rashi quotes things from the time of the Bavel. Okay. But this is the common answer again. However, there is a hashkocha, but there is a drush. There is a message here. The fact that these two things are interchanged does indeed seem to teach us that there is a difference. That the mitzvahs of tefillin and the mitzvah of meiser, really they correspond to truma and mezuzah. Now, what is the difference between truma and meiser? It's a very big difference. Truma is called hafrosha, which means you separate. When you give truma, when a person gives truma, truma is always described to lift up. To take something, you have a mixture, you have tevel, and you lift up a portion of what you have, you elevate it, you sanctify it, it becomes sacred. Meiser is not sacred. Meiser is mundane as can possibly be. There's no kedush in meiser. There's truma in the meiser, but meiser is mundane. When you give meiser, you're not elevating something. You are sanctifying, or you are being masaking what's within. It's a very big difference, hashkafic difference, between being mafresh truma and being mafresh meiser. Truma is the outside. You are taking something that you have and you are lifting it up and elevating it and sanctifying it. Meiser is, I'm not looking to be misaking the world to do anything. I'm just trying to conquer and be misaking what is within. In the Rashi, we are interchanging tefillin with truma and mezuzah with meiser. What are tefillin? V'rohu kol ame ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaru mimeka. The mitzvah of tefillin is not just the mitzvah of tefillin, I wear tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin tells a person, be different. Lift yourself up. Be a holy person. Put Hashem's name upon your head. When a non-Jew sees a Jew walking in the street, they should say, what a kiddush Hashem. What a holy person. What a nation. Lift yourself up and be a different person. That's exactly the essence of truma. You have to take something, lift it up, sanctify it, make it holy, like what your son spoke about today. Truma. Truma is schala. You're giving new kedusha. Meiser, not giving any new kedusha. Just make sure there's no damage. Make sure that the food that I have inside is mesukan. The food, I've given away a portion. I've given away something to the Levi. He has watid. I've given to the Ani. I only can eat what I have, knowing I can only eat what I have, knowing that other people also. You take care of yourself. The focus is not the external. The focus is internal. What is a mezuzah? Make sure your house is in order. The house is a private place. No one's allowed into your private quarters. You don't invite goyim to come into your house and see what's doing inside your house. Your house is for you. But you have to make sure that everything in your own home is in order. Everything in the home is kosher. This kosher food, this kosher, this is kosher. Everything is a proper environment. So it's not a coincidence that the words that have been interchanged in Rashi from Truma and Meiser are tefillin and mezuzah. In Galus, Hashem is telling us, you're in Galus now. In Galus, don't think that you're in a ghetto. And don't think that you're in Galus, you don't have to be concerned with what's going on internally. In Galus, you have to also be different than the Umos Olam. Lift yourself up. Wear tefillin. The tefillin you wear in Galus are different tefillin than you. The tefillin is like the truma. Elevate yourself to be in the Am HaNifchar in Galus. Also, in Galus, make sure that internally everything in your bias is okay, like Meiser. So that when the day comes and you come to Eretz Yisrael, then in the big picture of things, Klal Yisrael will be a dogma as the Am HaNifchar, Am Levodod Yishkoin, Vagoyim Lo Yischashav, and also your house will be in order. Within Eretz Yisrael, people should not be living a double life, like we find in Yoshiyahu and his generation. People, they were living inside, they had a Avodah Zarah inside their house, they may believe they're fine and good. These two points that we make is that it's not an accident that we are interchanging tefillin with truma and mezuzah with ma'aser. I say this. This is the kollel. This comes from, this is the var from the kollel. Okay, another short var. Another var that I found this to be an interesting idea. It's not, and that's not exactly what I saw, but I want to elaborate upon it from Rav Pinchas Friedman in the Sefer Shevilei Pinchas. So he says. I'm gonna say it different than what he says, but let's take note that in the Birchas Hamazon there are four brachas. There's Hazan. Then there's the bracha of Nodel Chashemukin al Shulchan Tlam Sev Eretz Chemda, the earth, the Eretz. Third bracha is Yerushalayim. And then it comes to Toiva Hametiv. And then afterwards, we can elaborate there are the Harachamons. And then there is the Bakasha for Mashiach. And then there's the Bori Priyagofen that you make when you finish, when you conclude Birchas Hamazon. So basically, what Pinchas Friedman says, not what he says exactly, is that these four/five brachas correspond to the four different things that Hashem created in this world that Hashem sustains. What are they? The Doimim, the Tzomeach, the Chai, the Medaber, and Yisrael. The first bracha, Hazon, what are the opening words of the bracha? Even though the bracha goes on to describe in detail, Hazon es Ha'olam. The world, by and large, 99% of the world is a domain. The earth, it's a globe. There's the sun, the moon. It's a living organism. The world is, we all know that. The world is in motion. The earth is spinning. The moon is spinning. The stars are in movement. And the sun is spinning. The world is a living organism. You cannot deny that. The whole world. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the world, 99.99% of the world is doiming. It's just stone. It's earth. It's molten lead. Whatever it is, but it's not. There's no life. Yet it's alive. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu very carefully and very precisely sustains the world. Hazon es ha'olam kuloi b'tuvo. B'cheinu v'chesed v'rachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains the domain. The second bracha. Eretz chemda. The earth. The earth is tzomeach. It produces. Tzomeach. The third bracha is Yerushalayim in the Beis Hamikdash, Shlomo David. What do we offer in the Beis Hamikdash? Okay, this is where you have to elaborate a little bit. Karbonos, animals. That's not Al-Hamichya. We'll come to that in a moment. Al-Hamichya. Equivalent. What do you offer? Yerushalayim is the makom of the Hakrovas HaKarbonos, the animals. It's the makom we focus on the Chai. Then we come to the bracha HaToyva HaMeitiv. What's HaToyva HaMeitiv? Harugei Beitar. It was established in Yavne Harugei Beitar, the covenant of man. Sheloi Hisrichu V'Shenitnu L'Kvura. Human beings, even though they're not even alive. Okay, now we're talking about the covenant of the Medaber, of the humanity. They were Yidden also. They were Taka Yisrael and Achanam. They were Yisrael, but it's not a perfect word. But we're focusing on Shaloi Yisrichu V'Shenidu L'Kvura Kavod Hames. There's a Tzelem Elokim is universal. It's not Meyuchad only to Yisrael. A guy requires Kavura. A guy has to be buried. There's Kavod Dignity. Shaloi is not Meyuchad Davka to Klal Yisrael. It's the Medaber. And then the slash, we come to the Harach. All all of the harachamas that we are mispal for at the end of that, after we finish the main part of Birchas Hamazon, are only going to be achieved through Klal Yisrael. And especially the Borei Pri Hagafen. The Borei Pri Hagafen is Merames. What? What? It's only Yisrael. The whole Borei Pri Hagafen, the Yain HaMashuma, for you most of the time of Maisa Bereshis, Dovr HaMelech, the time of Mashiach, he's going to be the one to bench. The end of Birchas Hamazon is when you go from level 4 to level 5 is Klal Yisrael. They are the only, all of those things at the end of the Birchas Hamazon can only be achieved through Klal Yisrael. So when we recite Birchas Hamazon from beginning to end, we're really acknowledging that Kadosh Baruch Hu sustained Esa Oilam Kuloi, sustained the Doimim, the Tzaymeach, the Chai, the Medaber, and Klal Yisrael. This is the Birchas Hamazon in the big picture of things. Now, you touched upon a vod that's very dear to my heart. This vod, really, most of it comes from Rabbi Shur. We'll have a little bit of elaboration upon it. And that is the bracha, bracha me'ein shalosh. The bracha me'ein shalosh, we add in things that do not appear in the Birchas Hamazon. We know that the bracha me'ein shalosh, the Al HaMichya, parallels the Birchas Hamazon. But there are a lot of additions. For example, b'kedusha uv'tahara. Nowhere in benching does it say that we should be zoiche to kedusha and tahara. Nowhere does it say in Birchas Hamazon to pray for the mizbeach, v'al mizbechecha v'al heicholecha. So what's going on? What's the pshat? Gedusha.
Yeah.
But that, right. Exactly. So that's an emphasizes the point. It does say the word kedusha, but it's yotcha hamaleya hapsucha hakedusha. It means hagedusha. It's a gedusha. So what's the answer? So Rabbi Shur basically says, and the elaborate on this a little bit, is that Birchas Hamazon, you don't need to pray for kedusha, because in Birchas Hamazon you got the real deal. V'hiskadishtem v'hiyisem kidoishem. Chazal darshan. What does it mean, v'hiskadishtem? Zo mayim rishonim. V'hiyisem kidoishem, zo mayim achronim. That when you sit down to a bread meal, you are required to wash your hands. Washing your hands is a mice of kedusha. V'hiskadishtem. When you finish eating, you're sanctifying your hands. You're washing your hands. When you conclude your bread meal before you bench, you wash mayim achron v'yisem kedoshim. You have the real thing. When you eat bread, you have to. Another example. Now, this is where I'm elaborating. Chazal tell us that a shulchan shel adam is like a mizbeach. The shulchan is the mizbeach. So you sing that at the table, you're inviting guests, you're serving them food, it's like you're bringing korbanos, you have the real thing. The heichol, I forgot, there's also a connection to the heval heicholecha. I think it means kol shemisha, you have to say divrei Torah. When you say divrei, the heichol, what's the heichol? The heichol is the mokum hashuas hashchina. Shnayim, if you're sitting at a table at a meal and you say divrei Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you bring the Shechina. And if you don't say Divrei Torah, it's Kilu Oichol Mizivchei Mesim. So this, the Heichol represents the Hashroas HaShechina. This is the Heichol, is the Mokom Hashroas HaShechina. When you eat a bread meal and you wash, and you sit at a real table with four legs, the real deal, and you have salt, and you have guests, and you speak Divrei Torah, you have real Kedusha, you have real tahara, you have a real mizbeach, a real heichol. When you have the real thing, you don't have to go into enter virtual reality. You don't have to put on goggles and put on your computer and go into the land of make-believe. Nonsense. We have the real thing. There's no make-believe. When you make a mizonos, you're on the run. I'm on the train. Chap. The chab of mizonos. You take a Danish, you make a bracha. Did you make a bracha? Didn't make a bracha. You were on the train. You didn't wash. You're not sitting down at a table. You're not with a friend talking divrei Torah. You don't have the real thing. No, let's settle for the next best thing. B'kedusha uv'tahara mizbechecha v'al heicholecha. Then you have to make believe. So we think, oh, Al HaMichya is so much greater, because Al HaMichya, oh, has all these nice expressions. That's the whole problem with us in this generation. We're all looking for schoolus, we're looking for chumris, we're looking for all the hocus pocus. If you have the real thing, You don't need all this nonsense. You don't need this. When you're a holy person, when you live a life of Kedusha Tahara, you don't need to do all these funny things, to make believe you have all of these things. That lesson is taught to us in the benching and the Al HaMichya. In the benching, you don't have to ask for Kedusha Tahara. It's right in front of you. You don't have to ask for a Mizbeach. It's right in front of you. You don't have to ask for the Hashras HaShchin of the Echo. It's right in front of you. It's only when you don't have these things, you have to remind yourself of what you're missing.
So what's better according to this? To want to make a Suda, to wash.
To wash, it's always better.
All the brachas, or not to wash and make different brachas.
It's always better to wash. Oh, there's no question about it. Washing is always the best. Okay, one last vart, very short vart. Last part is in Birchas Hamazon. There's one thing that's missing in Birchas Hamazon, and what is missing in Birchas Hamazon? The letter pay. The letter pay is absent in the Birchas Hamazon, and all the commentators, you go study all four brachas of Birchas Hamazon. Every single letter of the Aleph Beis is there, except for one letter, the letter pay. My high. What happened to the poor letter pay? 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. Oh, that's if he's part of your Nusach benching. Okay, but if it's not part of the benching, then pays. So check it, Yisach. So the Kabbalim want to say, because the letter pay is not a good letter. It's not nice to say that. Yes, but there's a much better answer. The answer is Asher Yotzar. What is the chasim of the brach of Asher Yotzar? Rafecho basar mafli lasa. It's a pella. It's a wonder. They all said every time a person, they once a Rashi told the Talmud, every time you go to the bathroom and everything is okay, you should send a telegram home to your parents that Baruch Hashem, everything is okay. The miracles that go on when a person goes to the Beis HaKiseh, that the body is able to separate the psoilas, the oichel from the psoilas, is a pella. Is one of the greatest wonders in Hashem's creation. In other words, Chazal cleverly are telling us that the Birchas Hamazon is not over until you go to the Beis Kiseh. The process, it's all part of the Shevach. Bafli Lasos, it's all part of the process of Achila. You eat and you separate the Psoilas, that's all part of the that's the conclusion of the Birchas Hamazon. Have a wonderful Shabbos.